James chapter number 1, as we continue in this series, I'd like to speak to you on this theme: every man is tempted. Every man is tempted. Maybe you've heard this statement before: the blame game. The blame game. What does this mean when somebody says, don't play the blame game? It means a situation in which different individuals or groups attempt to assign blame to each other for whatever happened, problem, failure. In other words, it's not willing to say, it's my fault. Always pushing the blame onto someone else. And I don't know all the other times of life except my time of living, but this one, right now, we have a lot of that going on in our society. Blaming my parents because of what I am. Now, there's something to that, but you have a free will. And I have a free will, or blaming my boss, or blaming this person, or blaming my spouse, or blaming, you know, just the list goes on and on. And so as we think about this, we even could go to the very beginning of creation. You remember what happened in the book of Genesis when the serpent tempted Eve, and she ate and gave to Adam, and he ate. And so then what happened was the blame game. That's the first example of the blame game is in the Garden of Eden. And I'm just going to give you the text if you want to write it down. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. First thing that happened was Eve blamed the serpent. It was the serpent. That was the serpent's fault, you know. And then it's interesting, in reading this, Adam did not just blame Eve. He went so far as to blame God. Because he said, this wife, you know, okay, guys, don't smile so big, guys. I'm just kidding. He said, this wife that you've given me, you know, which, who you know, God gave the wife. So in other words, he's saying, God, you messed up. Wow. Not a good thing, right? You know, I knew that before, but it really hit home when I was reading that. Wow, Adam actually blamed God. So blame shifting, it's not new, okay? It's as old as Adam. And how old is Adam? Old, okay? He's not alive, but you know what I'm saying. A long time ago. Blaming God goes against the very attribute of God, which is holiness. And you can see that in our text today, that God tempteth no man. Hold your finger there. I do want to turn to this verse in the book of Psalm 7. Turn over there quickly. Thank you for being here again and letting the Lord speak to us. Psalm chapter 7, God's word reads in verse number 11, 7:11. Sorry. God judgeth the righteous. Thankfully, he does that. But notice this. God is angry with the wicked every day. You know, the message of today is love. God loves. Let's just all say it. God loves. And never talk about the holiness of God. You can't eliminate the holiness of God and have the proper love. You have to have both. Okay? And here it says God is angry with the wicked every day. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Pages have to turn a little more to get to that one, don't they? It's right after Nahum. It's right before Zephaniah. I'm sure that helped you a lot. I just want to help you and minister to you. These books that we turn to every day, right? They're great books, these minor prophets. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, mine, what does it say? Holy One. I've circled that in my Bible. Holy One. That's God. Not just in Habakkuk's day, but in my day, in your day. We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Now we've got judgment and correction in the same verse. Look at verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold what? Evil. He can't even look at it. And canst not look on iniquity. We'll stop right there. God is holy. God is holy. And God does not offer you or me the opportunity to do evil because God is in no way evil. God is holy. God is just. God is pure. But here we have in these verses of Scripture from James, once again, temptation. I believe a different kind of temptation than in the previous part of the chapter. I believe this is a temptation not to make stronger, because that's what God, again, I don't know how to understand it all, but that's even what God is allowing into Brother Gardner's life. This is not something to cause him to sin. This is something God is using. And I was even reading, and I hesitate to mention it, but sometimes it can kind of be both. It can kind of be Satan is going to use it to try to get us to sin, even though God's intention is for good, Romans 8:28. But God, Satan will try to steal, right? Because that's his thing, right? That's what he does, steal and destroy. And so we see here that let no man, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. But 14 talks about temptation. And what Satan is trying to do in my life and your life, by way of introduction, is to take temptation and our desires and mix them together and cause us to fall. Because everybody in this room is a fallen man or woman, and so you have fallen lust. That's what it talks about here. What is lust? It's desires, okay? So we all have them, and Satan knows yours, and he knows mine. And he wants to mix the temptation, which is not sin, by the way. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. You and I have the equipment given to us, the Holy Spirit of God and the precious Word of God, that anytime temptation comes, we can withstand it in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. It is very possible. Temptation is not sin. But Satan wants to take the temptation and mix it up with my lust and try to get me to sin. He's got a perfect plan for me. He's got a perfect plan for you. And by the way, you cannot outwit the wiles of the devil. It is impossible. You can try, you will fail. In and of yourself, you cannot win. He is too wily, right? We just can't do it, but we can. I'm saying with our in and of ourselves, we can't. Temptation is not a sin. We don't have to yield. The yielding is sin. What is temptation? Temptation is an offer to sin. Okay, let's go back in our mind to Genesis chapter 3. Satan was able to persuade Eve, but Satan had no ability to push her. Think about those two words. He could persuade her, but he could not push her. She had to make a decision from her own will. Today, Satan works the same way in your life and mine. He's not able to push me into anything, but he does a great job persuading me, okay? If you're a fisherman, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You throw that bait out there, does that bait, unless you're snagging him, okay, let's just set that aside, okay? The bait is not running to the fish and saying, open your mouth, I'm going to jump in your mouth. That's pushing. That doesn't work that way. But the bait is there to persuade. I don't know what's going through the fish brain. I didn't study it, all right? I'm not about to start studying fish brains. But there's something going on in that brain when it sees that it's got a desire. Maybe it's really hungry. Is it wrong to be hungry? No, that's a desire. And that thing comes in the water. The fish isn't able to see what's behind that lure, right? So there's the persuasion. Satan works the same way in my life and yours. He cannot push me into doing wrong, but he takes that lure and he drops it in front of my face, drops it in front of your face. And again, your lure does not look like mine. Just like when you fish, you got to change lures. Again, let's use things like that in our life to help us to understand what the devil is doing. And that's exactly what he's doing. Someone put it this way, Satan dangles the bait in our face, but he cannot force the bait down our throat. Just as the fish, right? We decide with our own will to take a bite or say no. I want to encourage you today with the power of God, if you're a believer, say no. By the way, this is why I said this is a crucial passage of Scripture in the life of the believer. I mean, they all are, all Scripture, I get it. But I'm just saying, when we're talking about temptation, this is something that we all face. Remember, temptation is not a sin, but temptation is coming. It's coming in waves. It's coming when we don't expect it. It's coming. We can be ready, though. God's given us the ability right here to be ready with when it comes. We have all seen that God allows trials into our lives. Trials are meant to build us. Temptation is not meant to build us. Temptation to sin is meant to destroy us. This is the difference today as we consider this. Let's look at several things quickly from these verses. Number one, verse 13, number one, God cannot be blamed for temptation. God cannot be blamed for temptation. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. God does not pervert my way. God does not pervert your way. And his heart fretteth against the Lord. Commentator said this about that verse. Fools will try to blame God when they ruin their lives. The fool is not willing to accept failure as his own. Of course, to blame God is also folly. Another one, another quote about this thought is, such is the pride and blasphemy of a proud spirit. The criminal blames the judge for his righteous sentence. Do you know what you have today and I have today? We have a righteous sentence on our life. Romans 6:23 says, this is the righteous sentence. Ready? For the wages of sin is death. That is the sentence on the life of every sinner. And by the way, it is righteous. God is holy. Remember, we said he can't even look at it. He can't look at sin. So that's a sentence that's been placed on your life and mine. If you're not saved, I want you to know something. That sentence is still on your life. If you die without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell, regardless of what people on the internet post and things about different things. There is a hell. It is eternal, just like heaven, okay? And so don't allow God's sentence to remain. God made a way. Everything that you see this time of year should not point to only a manger. It should point to an empty tomb. Because God made a way by the way of the manger and then the cross and then the empty tomb. And now seated at his right hand is his own son, ready to remove the sentence of death from your life and mine. I'm glad as a 9-year-old boy, I recognized I was a sinner headed for hell. I needed Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I did not become a Baptist to be saved. I did not get baptized to be saved. I wasn't saved because my dad was saved. I had to make a conscious decision from my heart. For the man believeth in his heart that he shall be saved. I got saved when I was 9. That was 43 years ago. What a journey. God is good. Now for me, the sentence is gone. I did nothing, by the way. I deserve to have that sentence on my life. But by the grace of God, for the wages of sin is death, the verse didn't end. Aren't you glad the verse didn't end with that? Whoa, because if it had ended there, you and I would have been a mess of trouble. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sounds a lot better than the sentence of death, doesn't it? But the gift of God, cannot earn it. You must only receive it by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of yourselves. Even after you get saved, you can't hold on to God. It doesn't work that way. God's holding on to you. You're in the hand of Christ. Christ is in the hand of the Father. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, John chapter number 10. Praise the Lord for that eternal security. But there is a sentence put on every human being, and it is the sentence of death, physical and spiritual. But by the grace of God, that sentence can be lifted. We'll talk about that in a little more. 1 John 1:5. Maybe we'll turn over there just quickly. 1 John 1:5. This also emphasizes that God cannot be blamed for temptation. The Bible is very clear about this. 1 John 1:5, even right there in James, it's very clear. But to add something to that, we have other passages of Scripture. 1 John 1:5 said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Aren't you glad for light? Oh my goodness, our power went off this week, and it was dark in that house. Boy, I tell you. I mean, when I turned on my cell phone battery with every light off in the house, even that cell phone light, boy, I tell you what, it looked like I had a sun, you know, because it was bright. But darkness, there's nothing, I don't like darkness. And God says, or Bible says, God is light and in him is no darkness. Maybe think about that and meditate on that. God is light, so he cannot be blamed for temptation. He cannot be blamed for the evil acts of man. We have a world that loves to blame God for every evil act of man. Massacre this week in Australia. Horrible, horrible, horrible. That is not God's fault. That is the evil nature of man. And man has been given a free will from God. If you rob man of his free will, then you rob God of his love. They go hand in hand. Don't let the pundits and people online start to spin things, and even you start doubting the love of God, and I start doubting the love of God because of all these tragedies all over the world. It's just the bubbling and boiling of a wicked world, ready for Antichrist, ready for the coming of the Lord, and the redemption of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen to that. Live for God. Live for God in this dark day, because you and I as believers have light. Amen for that. God cannot be blamed for temptation. Number two, Satan is constantly baiting us with temptation. That's verse 14. So we have God cannot be blamed for temptation. Satan is constantly baiting us with temptation. Notice that phrase, is tempted, is tempted. Again, I need to study the Bible more. So we talked about that on Wednesday night. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So sometimes we just read verses and we think, oh, okay, that's good. Every man is tempted. But that is tempted is in the present tense, which means something, all right? Here's what it means. It is a continual process. It doesn't mean that when you get tempted Monday morning and you withstand, you can say, I'm done till next Monday. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a continual process, and I think we all know that. But sometimes, you know, we kind of get maybe a little overconfident. It's also in the passive voice. You say, what does this mean? Well, here's what it's saying, that the individual does not need to go looking for it. You don't have to go looking for worms like you do when you go fishing. Satan knows right where you live. And he knows what works in your life and mine. So we don't have to go looking for temptation. Temptation will find us. The temptation and the drawing away are happening at the same time. Notice it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away. You and I have desires in our life that are not godly. Okay, that's we have to be willing to admit that. We have those. Why? Because we are part of us is still the old nature. That's why Paul said, I have to die how often? Daily, not yearly, not monthly, daily. Why? Old man is there. What does the old man have? Lusts that are not pleasing to God. They must die. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We got to be crucified. I missed a few words in there. Death, right? Death. I'm crucified with Christ. We've got to claim that. The Adamic nature that I have and that you have assures us that these desires or these lusts, they do exist. They do. Again, I mentioned it earlier. I got ahead of myself, but the fish has no idea what's coming, right? That's the lure. Here's a verse to write down, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Thank you for your attention today. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Every sports team, they want to know the advantage. How can we win? What's the book on this team? How do they do things? What do they do? They want to get an advantage. Watch this guy. Watch number so-and-so. I remember in high school basketball, we used to have one of our, I mean, we were pretty serious about it. And so we even would scout sometimes the other team. This is a Christian school, small school, but we're going and we had a man going and scouting teams. Like we were going to be in the NBA someday, you know. You didn't see me play for the Grizzlies. I was there. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't there. But we wanted to find out, how can we defeat this team? And you know what? Lest Satan get an advantage of us. Look what it says. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul says, hey, don't put your head in the sand and think you know how to get a win on Satan all the time. Don't be ignorant of this. He says, we are not ignorant. Praise the Lord for that. But Satan does want to get the advantage. So number one, God cannot be blamed for temptation. Number two, Satan is constantly baiting us. And number three, sadly, sin always brings death. It's not sometimes. It's not occasionally. It's not every now and then. Verse 15. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The fish is too overtaken by the lure, and he makes a decision to go for it. We are no different. I'm sorry to compare us to fish today. I know we're sheep, but in this way, we're fish. We see the temptation, and we make a decision. God does not force us. Even Satan doesn't, by the way. Like I said earlier, I believe firmly. He cannot push me. He will put the lure in front of me and bait me, but he cannot push me or you. But a decision is made. And pardon me, but that fish has no idea what's coming. As soon as he bites that hook, within just a few moments, unless he's a big one and he can fight it for a while, or sometimes they can throw him off, but for the most part, he's going to be pulled up to shore. He's going to be pulled into the boat. Excuse me, I'm not trying to be funny. He's going to be knocked over the head with something, and he's going to be dead. Now, some people do it for sport fishing, you understand, but I think the illustration helps us, though. When he saw that hook, he did not envision his body being cut open and, you know, death. It was sure. Sin, when it is finished, that's the finish of the fish, right, is on the fillet table, the frying pan and so forth. And Satan has the same objective for you and me, death. Notice that verse. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It always brings forth death. Always, 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 always. You're not the exception to the rule. I'm not the exception to the rule. Temptations do not yield what they promise. Would you think about that with me for a moment? Temptations do not yield what they promise. Boy, isn't Satan a liar? Boy. I hate the devil. I hope you do. I hate the devil because he's won in my life too many times. Would you not agree in your own? He's won too many times. And then I see the life of other people and I think, oh man, I hate the devil. Temptations do not yield what they promise. Temptations are a lie and always meant to trap us. Every temptation of Satan is a lie. There isn't one single exception. Because the Bible says he is a liar and the father of it. And when the fish is caught, it leads to ultimate death. See, okay, you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, but Satan is trying to kill your influence. Now, again, I know we're hammering on this today, and maybe you think, well, this is not what I'm thinking of on December 21st. Well, I didn't have liberty to change the direction of this, so we're just going with it because I believe this is what the Lord wants. Because really, this is why Jesus Christ came to live, to live a life, to do miracles, to all that he did, and then to ultimately die so that you and I can live. This is really the whole meaning of it. I know most of us understand that. But now as Christians, we have an influence, and our influence should be used for the glory of God, and Satan wants to destroy your influence, my testimony, your testimony. He wants to rob you of the joy of the Lord. He wants to rob me of the joy of the Lord. He wants to just, why? Because he hates God. Remember this. The reason why Satan attacks you and me is because he hates God, and God loves you. For God so loved the world. He loves you. He loves me. God loves the church. Satan hates the church. God loves his people, his children. Satan hates God. So then Satan hates you and me. It always ends in death. But I'm glad that's not the end of the message. Look at verse 16. It's a short one. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Remember, James is writing. These are a lot of new Jewish Christians. He's writing, do not err. You know, in other words, you know, don't go that way. So number four, children of God can avoid bondage. So God cannot be blamed for temptation. Satan is constantly baiting us. Sin always brings death. And children of God can avoid bondage. Hallelujah. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit told James what to write. And he says to you and me today, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved sisters. You have a choice. Don't be led astray. When the temptation comes, go into scripture mode. Fear comes so quickly. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's a sin, by the way. That's a sin, I'm sorry, that I've had way too many times in my life. Fear is not of God. Fear is of the enemy. So when that starts to come, go to Scripture. What did Jesus do? Jesus was tempted, right? Matthew 4. He said it is written three times. Go to Scripture. Meditate on Scripture. This is why it's very important to have God's Word every day in your daily life. And also good music. Good music. Boy, you just play some songs about heaven, you know. Play some songs about it is well with my soul. Play whatever. Music that's godly and Christ-honoring. James speaks the truth in love here. It is a personal decision that we must make. And here's what the personal decision is. Resist. I forgot to look it up. I should have looked it up. But I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote it to you. Praise the Lord. For a little bit of memory, but I forgot the address. Resist the devil. Wasn't that in James? Maybe James 5 even. That's starting to come to me. Let's look over there. Let's see. Maybe not. Full, looky there. Oh, Pastor Turner, you're not fully lost it yet. Thank you, my brother from another mother. Appreciate that. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Here it is. Resist. Aren't you glad that if you submit, don't forget the submitting to God. Don't leave that part out of the verse and go right to resist. Submit to God, resist the devil, and guess what? Adios, devil. He will flee from you. Why? Because you submitted to God. Because we submitted to God. We don't have to yield. We don't have to take a bite of the hook. We don't have to do wrong. Hey, we don't have to sin. Really, we don't. We choose to. We choose to. Pastor chooses to. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Nobody here has lived a perfect life after salvation. You have all continued to sin. Why? Because you have an old man living with you. And many times the old man wins over the new man and we sin. Now, I'm not saying that just grab 1 John 1:9 and go live like the devil. No, that's not what we do either. That's abusing the grace of God. Don't do that. We don't have to sin. Turn to John 10, and this is it. This is it. I heard a pastor say that today. He said, turn to this one more passage. And then he had to say, well, maybe not. One more. But I'm pretty sure this is it. Thank you for listening. And I hope that God is glorified today in this service, all of it. It's been such a blessing. And I hope that his word will be a rest in our heart today. And we'll just listen to the Lord. John 10:10. The thief, Jesus speaking here, the thief cometh not but for to. Here's what Satan's coming to do in your life and mine. Steal, kill, destroy. So that's That's when we choose temptation. That's what we're saying yes to right there. That's option one. I'm glad there's two options. Look what Jesus said. I am come. The thief is coming. But he said, I have come that they might have life. Ah, I like that. That sounds a lot better than steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't it? I am come that they might have life, and not only life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's a beautiful passage. I'll stop right there. You have two choices to make. I have two choices to make. I can yield to the thief, or I can yield to the shepherd. The good shepherd says, here's what I've got for you. Life. Not only life in heaven. That's coming. We have that already as Christians. But we can have it now too. Abundant life. Or the thief. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Now, maybe God has placed things in your life that you need to speak to him about. Maybe God is even, not that you're saying you're better than them, but maybe God has put people in your mind and in your heart that you're praying for, and then you're even praying for them even in a greater way. Because right now they're listening to the thief. And he's only going to bring destruction. Right now they're getting really close to biting that hook really hard. And we know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good. Maybe you ought to pray for them in a greater way. Yes, pray for yourself, but also maybe there's others that you need to pray for today. God is holy. God is just. Every man is tempted. It's coming. But we can be ready. And we can say yes to the shepherd. The shepherd says, I have life. And I have it more abundantly. Now, someone's away from the Lord. Don't stop praying for them. I have enough testimonies to tell you to last a long time of people who were saying yes to the thief, and they woke up one day and said, enough. I got to come back to the shepherd. And just like that old prodigal son, daddy was out there waiting. Yes, sometimes there's a price to pay for, you know, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes there's a price to pay, even after somebody comes back to the Lord. But they have the grace of God and the mercy of God, just like you and me. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. And in your own life, in my own life, I don't want to be led astray by the enemy. I want my life to be a testimony of light to a lost world. How about you? The light can shine through you to a dark world. Heavenly